Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2 verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. My name is Mike Abendroth. Always biblical, always provocative, always in that order. That's what we're looking for. I want you to think biblically, and I usually speak my mind, is what I usually do. I don't speak someone else's mind, and I guess people think that I'm blunt. That's probably why I'm in New England. We are blunt here. Blunt, blunter, bluntest. And we like to talk about Jesus because he never compromised. He perfectly obeyed. We like to talk about the death of Jesus because at Calvary, none of the attributes of God were compromised. You could see God's justice just as much as God's love on display. And therefore, and in light of, and because of all that, we don't want to compromise. Wednesdays, I like to have people on to interview them. Tuesdays, Steve and I are usually on, the Tuesday guy. Pray for Janet. And Thursday, Friday, I sometimes talk about Hebrews because I'm preaching Hebrews and I like to hear what I say out loud, practicing, so I might as well practice for you. This is practice time. We're talking about practice. We are talking about practice. That's funny. All right. At NoCo Radio is our Twitter account. Oh, my back hurts today. There is a No Compromise Facebook page. There's a special discussion group that I can't figure out how to upload things to. And all kinds of things are happening. Maybe we're going to try to get some T-shirts. This might be the year where we try to hunker down and make No Compromise Radio. What do you call it when you get on other shows? Syndicatable. Syndicatable. Do you think this show could ever be syndicated? I don't think so. But that's just the way it works. If you want to email me, directly, Mike at NoCompromiseRadio.com. Indirectly, info at NoCompromiseRadio.com. I use social media for kind of one-way communication. If you want to get in a big debate, I'd say go to the dividing line. James will debate you. He's a better debater than I am. I think he's going to be on No Compromise Radio, and I'm going to be on the dividing line. And actually, last week, Todd Friel asked me to guest host Wretched, and I was in California for my son Luke's graduation. So it has been the last time I have hosted Wretched Radio was December, like, 12th, 2016, the day I found out I had prostate cancer. If you have prostate cancer or you have a high PSA, and you want to email me, Mike at NoCompromiseRadio.com, and I will either talk to you on the phone or email you or help you in any way I can. Okay? True. I now have a cancer ministry that I never knew I would have to have, but I'm glad to have it. I can actually look back and say now, I know God has always been faithful in it, even though I haven't been faithful. He knew what he is doing and always knows. And it's been for my good and for his glory. Lots of good things have come out of it. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. It's crazy. But good things have happened, and I can say thank you, Lord, for all that you have been doing in my life and who you are in the last year and a half. And hopefully after some more blood tests and MRI and a biopsy, we will be done. And it'll be off to the next trial. I wish that was just my cancer moment. And I wouldn't have to deal with cancer ever again, but I'm not sure that's how it works. Matter of fact, I know it's not how it works. But those who persevere, God has given them, obviously, the perseverance to do that very thing. I think of James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed. Isn't that what it says? Matter of fact, I'm going to look it up, because on my show, we can look up whatever verse we want. I have in front of me an ESV study Bible. I actually think that's a pretty decent study Bible. I like the NES better, but the decent study notes here. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. It's an amazing statement and a wonderful statement extolling who God is. All right. We today are going to look at Psalm 110. Why Psalm 110? It's quoted so many times in the New Testament, maybe the most quoted psalm in the New Testament. And Hebrews has already quoted something from Psalm 110 and now it quotes something else. And we're talking about the Father ordaining the Son as the king priest, as the high priest, as the one who will stand on our behalf. What do priests do? They pray. Jesus prays, Hebrews 7:25, and they sacrifice. He is the once-for-all sacrifice, chapter 9 and 10. We're going to look at Psalm 110. I think what we're going to use for an outline, since we talked about outlines last time, is words, I think the five words that describe God the Father calling and ordaining Jesus the Son. All right, these are the words that will help you just have kind of a, you know, pegs to kind of see progress with, progress from, progression. All right. It's that time of year again. Funds are low. We got a share-a-thon coming up. What do they have when people need the money for staying on the radio? What do they call that? Share-a-thon? Telethon? Radio-a-thon? Fundraisers? I don't know. Probably by the time this airs, I'll have been back from Florida officiating a wedding, and I actually got permission to stand in R.C. Sproul's pulpit. How's that for the anointing? The anointing. Some things just are anointing, and some things are anointing. You have a little tick mark there for the A. He's anointed. Oh, and if you don't know what N-O is, quit asking me. If you don't know, you don't know. You're just not the insider. Now, I know some of you are regular listeners. You already know. You know Heno, anointed. You know forget you. But you know, have to realize we have new listeners all the time, right? By the thousands, scores of them. How come we don't talk about large masses of people like that anymore? Scores, literally scores of them. Grandma, you answer the phone, Heno, and I would call Grandma Anderson back and say, you say hello, and she says, I say hello. So I knew she could say the word hello, because she just said, I don't say hello, I say hello. Call you right back, 553-3836, area code 402. Dial rotary phone. Hello. So now when theologically I hear something that's like, hello, I say, hello, hashtag, hello. Tonight I'm teaching the youth group, I think, something about social media, how it's intrinsically bad. Oh, I won't say that. I think some parents are invited, so that's important. First word that describes God the Father calling and ordaining Jesus the Son as the King Priest is the word sit. Sit. Verse 1 of Psalm 110. Yahweh says to my Lord Adonai, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. I mean, just stop and think for just a minute. Here we're hearing the Trinity talk to one another, the triune God. He's the great king. Here, Yahweh says to Adonai, mean, this is David writing. I don't know if David knew much about this, but certainly what's happening. Who's David's king, right? This is the father talking to the son. This is a declaration made by the father to Jesus. The Lord says to my Lord, who's David's Lord? How can he be son and Lord? Well, we know it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Aaron, when he got ordained, did God say something to him directly? But there is a special declaration here. The Lord says to my Lord. This is Yahweh says to Adonai. And what does he say? Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So the first key word here is sit. Trinitarian proclamation. Spurgeon said, what wonderful intercourse there has been between the Father and the Son, for this secret and intimate communion springs the covenant of grace and all its marvelous arrangements. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Man, how greatly should we prize the revelation of his private and solemn discourse with the Son, herein made public for the refreshing of his people. The Lord, what is man that thou should thus impart thy secrets unto him? Though David was a firm believer in the unity of the Godhead, he yet spiritually discerns the two persons, distinguishes between them, and perceives that in the second he has a particular interest, for he calls him my Lord. This was the anticipation of the exclamation of Thomas, my Lord and my God. And it expresses the psalmist's reverence, his obedience, his believing appropriation, and his joy in Christ. It is well to have clear views of the mutual relations of the persons of the Blessed Trinity. Indeed, the knowledge of these truths is essential to our comfort and growth in grace. There is a manifest distinction in the divine persons, since one speaks to another, yet the Godhead is one. That is very cool. The Lord says. And of course, that's very popular in prophetic literature. The Lord says. We know that. There's the authority of God. God says. And why do I have these notes here twice? I have no idea. So I just fast forward them. Sit at my right hand. That's a position of what? Power, authority. Honor. Sitting. Present position as enthroned. That's this great priest. Wow. Enthroned in the place of honor, superior to all others. Sit at my right hand. Now, chapter 1 of Hebrews has talking about this, sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. We've got a glimpse of that. It says in chapter 1, verse 13, to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet? So we've already got a glimpse of that before. It says in chapter 8, verse 1 of Hebrews, we have a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne in the majesty in heaven. It says in chapter 10, but when Christ had offered for all time single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Hebrews 12, 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Messiah in heaven with the Father, sharing majesty, authority, power, dominion. Jesus, greater than the angels, greater than David, exalted by God as Savior, intercessor, done with his work, seated. When your work's done, you sit. And you sit at a place of power and dominion, dignity, authority, when you've done a good job, right? And this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Until I make thy enemies a footstool. He, the Son, has been exalted, but these enemies will suffer shame and indignity. Jesus, appointed by God, sit. Enemies will be destroyed. Doesn't this make you think about who God is and what he's done versus who you are and what you're doing? I mean, I'm just trying to process all this and to understand Scripture, and it just makes me not think of myself. What did Jesus say outside of Hebrews? You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, coming on the clouds of heaven. Romans, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. All right, he's at that powerful place, seated at the right hand of God, Colossians chapter 3. What does Acts chapter 2 say? He's poured out, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God. The Lord said to my Lord, sit in my right hand, right there in Acts chapter 2. Well, he sits until he makes enemies a footstool for your feet. God subdues all enemies through the Son. You can just imagine what was going on back then. Enemies a footstool. You would put your feet on the necks, heads, faces, I guess, if you wanted to, of an enemy. That is a great metaphor for conquering, vanquishing king to show his triumph. I have a question for you. How many angels ever did this? How many Aaronic priests ever did this? Who else ever did this? It's interesting. Joshua 10, it came about that when they brought these kings out to Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the chiefs of the men of war who had gone with him, come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. So they came near and put their feet on their necks. But how about all enemies? It's amazing. The sign of victory. One writer said, so the passage gives hope to all believers in all ages that Christ will triumph over unrighteousness. Any alarm here? Is the world getting away from us? What will happen with these enemies? Will they take over? Even Psalm 2, we will not have this God reign over us, casting his fetters apart. God, the Son, is exalted. Sit. Word number 2 that describes God the Father calling and ordaining Jesus the Son as a king priest. Rule. Sit and then rule. God himself, the Father, Yahweh the Father, is enabling Yahweh the Son, the Messiah, to rule. And it's a joyful rule. The Lord sends, Yahweh sends forth from Zion, your mighty scepter, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments from the womb of the morning. The dew of your youth will be yours. The scepter of this king stretches out from Zion over all the enemies and rules over all the earth. And what happens? He, the Messiah, leads his troops into battle, holy garments. And what do people do? They freely offer themselves. They freely serve. They sacrificially serve with holy festal garments. What's it say about the dew of the youth will be yours? Hey, dew is abundant at dawn, and there's going to be so many young people who are going to want to serve the Messiah. So many servants. Dew is also youthful because it is refreshing. Dew is refreshing on the ground. And here we have the rule of the Son. Who do you want for a high priest? Sit, rule. The third word that describes is sworn. Sworn. The Lord has sworn, verse 4, and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is what we've been talking about. This is the verse that's quoted in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 6. This is the verse that's arguing for the priesthood of Jesus. In the Old Testament, could you have a king who is going to be a priest? No. Pagans did that, but the Israelites didn't. Uzziah didn't work out so well for him. Here we have God irrevocably swears. He gives an oath. And here's what one writer said. God has made promises concerning the Son that will not be revoked. He is a priest forever, and this provides strong encouragement for those who commit to the new covenant. This oath, rather than ancestry, provides the basis for Jesus' priesthood. Yet, though marked out for appointment, the path to that appointment lay along the way of suffering. Although he was a son, he learned obedience and was made completely fit for the office of high priest by his passion. That's later in chapter 5 of Hebrews. Once God has sworn, no revocation. Right? You swear by something greater than yourself, and what does God do? He swears by himself, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 7, he's sworn his mind, he will not change his mind. Right? He's not sworn his mind, but he has sworn and will not change his mind. Sorry about that. For Hebrews, Psalm 110 is interpreted messianically, and it is theologically very, very important. Christ Jesus is the high priest who sits at the Father's hand, who rules because God has sworn this to happen. He is a priest on his throne, as Zechariah chapter 6, verse 13 talks about. The king sits on his throne with a priest. That's amazing. As a priest, the king priest. Well, what kind of priest is this? He's after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is the king of Salem, a priest of the Most High. And you can study Melchizedek, who's before Aaron, in Genesis chapter 14 and other passages that we're going to get to once we get to chapter 7 in Hebrews. King of righteousness, king of Salem, or king of peace. He was both a king and a priest. Pre-law, Melchizedek, two offices combined. Priest on a throne forever. Most priests died, and someone else would take over here forever, 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 forever. He gives his people salvation forever. If your salvation is going to last, you need a king who is going to be forever, a king priest who is going to be forever. Word four, victorious. The Lord, verse 5, is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. Here, Yahweh is not used. Adonai is used. Adonai is at your right hand. He's God. He's sovereign. And what does he do? He executes judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses, shattering chiefs over the wide earth. Here we have the triumphant conqueror, conquers Jews, conquers Gentiles. One man said the quotation of Psalm 110 in verse 6 is startling. The verse is not used by any other New Testament author, yet our author makes more references to Psalm 110 than any other Old Testament text, that is, from the book of Hebrews. Melchizedekian, power, triumph, rule, victory. And he's not going to get tired. By the way, he will drink from the brook, by the way, therefore he will lift up his head. Some people think that could be, I don't know, some kind of ceremonial thing, confidence in his troops. I don't really think that has to do with it. Here we have identification with the troops by drinking water. Maybe that's more like it. a declaration of victory and sovereign rule over enemies. That much is for sure. Psalm 110, a prophecy of the coming king-priest who is sacrificial, his own sacrifice of his own self, and then he raises himself from the dead. Death doesn't hold Jesus because he's a priest forever. The real triumph. Well, my name is Mike Abendroth. Time is fleeting. Psalm 110, Jesus is the King Priest.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400.